Give him a phone call. I could do that. Ooh, I gotta check this one out. This one looks good. This one looks good.
So last night when I was setting everything up, I was listening to music, and I don't know if you've ever heard this this band called NWA.
I've heard of them.
One of their songs, "Boys in the Hood," that came on, and I was listening. I was like, "Oh yeah, I know this song, right?" But really, we're separated by like 5 years. You know, that if we're 5 years younger, that would really be right. Our music, right? And you know, I got to tell you, it's heavily violent. It's a little vulgar.
They have a thing against the police as well, is my understanding.
They
have a certain thing where there's a level of disconnect between their two positions of opinion. So
they're diametrically opposed, is what it is. And, but such is life. You know, one thing I noticed listening to music, because it was their music, which is, you know, other songs of theirs kept playing, was that they seem to have attitudes. They seem to have attitudes, and.
Mm-hmm. And they're not afraid of that attitude.
They're not afraid to share. That's the gumption is what I like.
Right.
The gumption is what I like. Ooh, I started rolling. Congratulations, by the way. This was our first segment called The Banter Beat. People love banter. It's what we do. A Mayo Clinic ran a study about a year ago. And, did you hear that beep?
I did.
That was Mayo Clinic.
They're a sponsor of today's video.
Chipling. Mayo Clinic. If you need it to be in a clinic, Mayo. No, they 100% of people like banter. So we just nailed that. Hey, can you actually do me a favor? Could you come closer to the screen?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Enough banter. Roll my graphic. There's no graphic that rolls here, but that's okay. I'll start it up. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is 38 at 38. My name is Aaron Bolton, and I want to tell you this is a very special 38 at 38. I'm very excited about this one. But it's going to be good. It's not going to be like
the other ones.
Yeah, like the other ones.
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. It works. It's not going to be like the very special episodes of like Fresh Prince of Bel Air, where Carlton gets on speed. That's not a good one. Or the very special episodes of Saved by the Bell, where Jesse Spano gets on speed. People were getting on speed in the 90s. It was going through Hollywood. So the reason that this is a very special episode is, well, we're going to do things a little differently. Usually, I have a special guest. Today is just a guest.
Today is just special for other reasons.
Special. Yeah. We'll find out. No, but we have a special guest talks about their most ridiculous work story. And then afterwards they will read off a quote that I have. And that quote has something to do with one of the 38 jobs that I've had. But today's a little different because my very, very special guest, we worked at the same place together, and it houses some of my most ridiculous job stories. And luckily enough, it was also his most ridiculous job that he's worked. What's even better is this guy, he's my very, very best friend. He's closer than a friend. He's like a brother to me. He's like closer than a brother. Like we're twins. Like it's as if we are literally Siamese twins.
Literally. We got a difference of opinion than on the way we feel.
We've got difference of definitions.
Right. How we categorize our relationship.
Hey, how about I go ahead and introduce you? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mario Gallego. Mario, go ahead and now that I've done that introduction, now you introduce you.
Yeah. No, thanks, Aaron. I really appreciate you inviting me here, letting me be here and joining you on today's show. You know, it's been fun. It's been fun watching the other previous episodes. They definitely were special guests, and I think that was fantastic. They were great episodes. You guys are able to shine through the, you know, have your personality shine through. And I'm excited to be here. I think the topic is great. I think it's a fun thing to discuss. And I, as we start to unfold this, I think it's always, it's very much so you to have had 38 jobs by 38. And for those who know Aaron, know that that's, you know, spot on. That makes a lot of sense. For those of you who are, have never had the benefit of meeting Aaron, stay away. But if you get a chance, he's a person that you would, after spending 5 minutes, would know. Okay, I get it. You know, so it's great. No, and I mean that in the best way possible. I don't mean that.
I know you do. And the funny thing is, I know I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Yeah. I'm like, when are you going to drop that? Come on, you're saying some nice things. And then the nice things turn into like backhanded nice things. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Nicest guy who, and, you know, in his house. Nicest guy living in his house.
Guy who's wholly irresponsible, cannot hold down a job. No, totally kidding. Totally kidding. Right.
Nice. Well, as we've been talking about, thanks, Mario. This show is about the hustle. This is about hustle. You know, being able to hustle and never giving up, and
that's funny.
Thanks, G. No, awesome. All right, so real quick, I think I in really high level, because we got a lot of stories to fit in, but I do want to kind of do a quick intro of who we are to each other. So we are best friends, besties. Are you wearing your necklace that I got you?
You gave me a necklace.
Nope, just kidding. I don't, you know, the little hearts that go. So Mario is my very best friend. We've been friends ever since eighth grade. I would love to say that we were best friends in the beginning of eighth grade, but it's really, really difficult to be best friends with your bully. It really is. Try as I might. And eventually I won him over.
You were a bully. What can we say? You know,
I kept bullying you by showing that I was defenseless. And you were like, look at this guy. He's forcing me to bully him. Oh, God. You're a bully. Mm. But we became friends, and we became best friends. We went to high school together. We've had some jobs together. We've had some really fun experiences. Honestly, dude, I was thinking about this, and I know this sounds so pretentious, and now I'm going to say it. I think what would be a good podcast, here's another idea, would just be me and you. We just write down all the stupid stories or stupid or ridiculous events or whatever that we've been through, and every episode, we just go through two of them, or maybe one of them.
Yeah,
I think that would be hilarious. It doesn't always have to be happy. They can be sad. Actually, specifically, I want them all sad. Yeah. And it's going to end. It's going to end as a true crime series. So one of us
is going down.
Yeah, but it's all for the pod. It's all for the pod. All right. So we are all acquainted. G, did you, and we can edit anything out, but did you want to say your background, where you work from, what you do?
Sure. Yeah. I, you know, it's interesting, as I was thinking about this last night, I think it's a fascinating, like, I don't know, observation that we are very opposite in, we're very similar in a lot of ways, but we're also very opposite in a lot of ways, where I have not had very many jobs. I'm the person that I tend to just kind of, you know, stick with the job I have, and I stick with them for years before I move on to something else if another opportunity comes up. And so that being said, you know, I had the typical jobs growing up as a kid and as a teenager. As a kid, had jobs, which is, you know, we're going to be discussing that here in a little bit. Right. But also as a teenager and as a young adult, and eventually I did join the military. I was in the military for 10 years, so that kind of coincides and jives with me. You know, I'll stick around with things for a long time. So I was with them for 10 years. I bounced around with the Air Force, specifically, kind of a variety of different places, did a couple jobs actually in the Air Force. They allow you to change jobs while you're in the military. So in the Air Force, I did that with them. And then I bounced around afterwards, came out, went to school full time. And I wanted to, the goal was for me to work within the government in some sort of way, whether directly or indirectly. And indirectly would be with a defense contractor. And that's ultimately what I ended up doing. And that's what I do now. I work with a defense contractor. I've been with them now for about 4.5 years. And what I do primarily for them is essentially kind of their internal investigations, kind of like internal affairs sort of work for that particular defense contract. And so, yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
You know what's so funny, dude? You're right. We're definitely different. There's a lot of similarities, but the differences are kind of stark. Here's one that I just noticed, man. So in high school, if anyone were to guess what who would be looking like from high school to now, they would probably say, I would be wearing the black polo and the glasses, and you'd be wearing a fun wild shirt. Like a colored shirt, you know,
yeah.
And no glasses. And I actually put my contacts on today because I didn't want to have my glasses on. Mm-hmm. And then I rarely ever see you in your smart glasses. So good for you. We're switching up.
Man, I've transitioned, you know, as you know, I've got a milestone birthday that's looming. And I've transitioned over the years to where I started realizing
80 years old.
I'm going to be 80 years old. I realized that, you know, the eyesight starts deteriorating. I used to pride myself on having great vision. And then
2015. You used to brag that you had 2015. You're like, I got
2010. I had 2010.
You had 2010? That's pretty dope.
And I had that until I don't know how old, but I started realizing that, I don't know, when I was in my mid-30s, that I started looking at things. I was like, why are there like two? Why is that out of focus? And I'd get in and I was like, it's stupid TV. You know, I'm trying to adjust settings and not realizing.
Brand new Samsung top of the line TV.
I'm not accepting that it's my vision. And then sure enough, I go and get an eye check and they tell me, oh, you need glasses. I'm like, oh, nah, you know,
nah.
But now I have to use them and it's also, you know, you mentioned my shirt. So I'll tend to put on some type of shirt like this when I'm on a video call, because that's kind of what I do for work. Oftentimes I get on video calls and it's so because we're transitioning to a lot more of the video type calling instead of going out to do investigations in person. And so because of that, from my waist up, I am, you know, polo. From my waist down, I'm in my sleeping pants. So
skivvies. You're skivvies. Very cool. Very cool. All right. So let's get this rolling. I'm excited to introduce this. I'm excited. Dude, when I first laid out, you know, the outline for the podcast, and I wrote out like all the guests, the different guests, and the jobs, there was obviously two things that were going to be definite. Number one is I'm going to be talking about the job today. You know, that would be part of it, one of the 38. But secondly was I 100% is going to have Mario on there at least one time, at least one time, right? At the most. No, so at least, and I was like, okay, well, it's got to be Mario's episode that we talk about this job. So that's why we're doing things a little differently. So what we'll do is I'll let you introduce the job. I want you to talk about how you know, just high level, how you got to start working there, and then how, because you're my link of my connection to that job, and then how I came to the job. And if you could try not to get into any deep stories, we'll definitely talk. But then afterwards, then we'll bring up story after story, taking turns, and then we'll just get into talking about it. So go ahead and intro this job.
Yeah. No, thank you. I started thinking about it too. It's funny that I was your recruiter essentially to this job,
you were just like a military recruiter. You're like, do you want to go places? You want to see things?
So, you know, it's interesting. So we, believe it or not, for those of you listening in, Aaron and I were somehow in some sort of way entrusted with heavy machinery when we were, I can't remember how old you were when you started there. You may have been roughly the same age, but I started working there. It was at a junkyard, where an auto salvage yard. For those not in the biz,
not in the know.
Yeah. So I actually met this guy who worked at this junkyard at church. My family was heavily in the church when we were younger, and so he didn't speak any English, though. And because he didn't speak any English, he asked, hey, you know, what do you do on weekends? I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm 12. So, you know, what a 12-year-old does on weekends.
You're 12 years old.
Right, right. And so he essentially pitches me. He's like, well, I need somebody to translate for me at the junkyard. I can pay you. And so for me, I'm like, yeah, let's do it, you know? And so that's kind of how it all started. I started working there when I was 12. The role for me at the time was that I'd help them with, for those of you who have not been to a junkyard, or for those of you who have recognize the story, that basically they place out a whole bunch of vehicles out in different rows. And what they do is that they put them on stands. Typically those stands are like welded chunks of metal that they piece together, and they put the car atop of those rims.
Super safe for a 12-year-old.
Super safe. Dude, and we'll get to the stories, I know, but remind me about the safety one, about like how ridiculous the setup of that process was. But that was essentially it, that I'd go with him. He would have to set up these cars in rows. I'd help him align them. I'd translate for him when he had other kind of tasks. And then I'd work there. I got a uniform and everything, the whole nine, as if I was a true employee.
Right. At 12 years old?
At 12 years old with heavy machinery. It's an unbelievable, mind you, for those of you too listening, you know, this was, dude, can you believe that this was almost 30 years ago?
I know, man.
Unbelievable. Ooh. Unbelievable.
It's been that. Yeah, 26, 27 years right now.
Yep. Shoot. Yep, 28 man. Years for me.
28, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyhow, so that's you know, how I got started off.
Here's what I need to add in there for people who and you won't brag about yourself. But here's the brag.
That's a lie.
How can – yeah, that's a lie. I'm the best bragger, also most humble.
Right.
So people are like, okay, what's going on? 12 years old working at a junkyard. He looked not 12 years old.
No.
He had a mustache. He had like sideburns. It wasn't full beard, but it was. No. It was. You had to shave.
I had
you
to shave. 12
years old. This is when I met you. This is a time frame in which I met you.
Right.
Right. You know, which is hilarious.
So, yeah, I distinctly remember in the sixth grade having, you know, a bunch of chin hair. I think I started being able to make the connection for beard enthusiasts, you know, or beard people who enjoy having a beard. There's always a time when you start growing the beard, that when it finally makes the connection down to the goatee kind of area, it's like a victory, you know, like,
oh yeah, man,
I'm there, you know. And it comes with time. But I was able to make that connection. Gosh, I think I was maybe like seventh or eighth grade, you know. It was very early.
Most people hit that. Most people get that. And they're like, I'm a man. But then you got it at 12 years old.
I'm a boy.
Anyone else at 12 years old would be like, I'm a man. Yeah. But still, you were still like, I'm a man. You're at 12 years old. I'm a man.
I had a deeper voice then than I do now.
Yeah. Reverse puberty. Right. It happens to definitely dozens of people.
Right.
So you were working for, I was asked, can we say his name? Like, anyone's going to track him down. Nito. Was it Nito?
Nito. It was his nickname. It wasn't his real name. I actually don't even remember his real name. But yeah, his name was Nito. Yep. Yeah. Which I don't even know. I think it's Nito and EET. It's a nickname. I'm not sure. But he's like Nito. Basically.
Any ATO, like Nito.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, and then, so keep going. Well, that's how you were working there. I'll just, my perspective real quick. And I don't know how, what you were thinking about it, but, I knew that Mario was working already at this point for about a year at the junkyard. I remember it was in eighth grade, the beginning of eighth grade. You hadn't turned 13 yet. It might've been maybe even the summer before, eighth grade. But I know you hadn't turned 13 yet. So it was towards the end of eighth grade, I believe. It was towards the end of eighth grade. So I was 13 years old. And Mario comes up to me and says, hey, man, you want a job? I was like, yeah, yeah. Which is, it's so funny. Looking back, I should have said, I mean, as an adult brain, okay, how was another kid going to offer me a job?
Yeah.
I was a child going to offer me a job, but I was like, yeah, no. And you, I knew that you worked there and you said, hey, why don't you come down and help out? And it was like one weekend, one Saturday, because that's when we work would be Saturdays, all day Saturday. And I came out and I thought it was like for a day thing. And then it was like, I didn't think it was permanent. I was like, oh, maybe a couple times I went out, you know, consecutively. And then one time you were like, all right, see you tomorrow. It was like a Friday. I was like, when are you coming over? Are you coming over after work? And you're like, no, man, you work here. You work. I was like, I do. I've got a job. So, and I was 13 years old and they just, they just assumed, I don't know if you told them I was 18. I did not look 18. Did you? Okay. Wait, this is eighth grade. All right. Right here. Okay, Phil, producer Phil, I promise you I will get you the image. It's already online. But this is what I look like in eighth grade. And if you're looking at it right now, there's no way that kid is 18 years old at all. But they were like, yeah, I guess just let him. So then we started working at the junkyard together. And I remember thinking this is what we're doing. And the funny thing that I like to tell people that when they ask, so what did you do working in a junkyard? I cleaned the junkyard. Like that was, we went around, we were cleaning the junkyard. That was our job, to clean the junkyard, basically. Now, obviously, other things came, other responsibilities. Well, other, they asked us to do things. So then I started. So now we've got, so just to set the stage, it is early 90s, mid-early, it's like 95, right? It's like 95, 96, mm-hmm. 1995, 96. This is a junkyard, an auto salvage junkyard in Tampa, Florida. And their employed are all male adults. You know, there's mechanics, there's people pulling parts, there's people working up front, all of them over the age of 18. Definitely, easily. And then two kids walking around the junkyard all day long, all day Saturday. And then, obviously getting paid for it. So, but I like also telling the story because 38 jobs, people are like, I've heard like, okay, but what do you consider a job? This is also another reason why I like this job, because this was the first job that I actually was paid over the table, like legitimately, like not at first, but eventually I started getting paid like with a check, and I was like, oh, look at that. And then I was like, who's this FICA? Who's taking all my money? So this is a pretty cool job for me. So let's go back and forth with some job stories. You go ahead. You start off with a job story or memory, and then we'll jump into it, and then I'll go and we'll banter back and forth. So
yeah,
go for it.
Yeah. So here's one that, as you were talking about, like how it is that I ended up essentially, headhunting you for the role. I don't know if you remember why it is that I wanted you to come work. What happened was that Nito got fired.
That's what I was right about to say. Nito, I remember. That's right.
Right. Nito got fired, and it's basically, they're like, well, here's this man boy who's out working you, you know, and so they're like,
he brought on, he recruited you.
Right.
They're already paying you. So it's not like, was he paying you at first? Like they were paying him.
He initially started off paying me.
You, and they were like, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah,
let's go ahead and start paying him. So good that they fired Nito.
And I spoke English.
A grown man.
Right.
I'm not talking about like we're kids and he's 20. He was mid to late 30s, easily, right?
Oh, easily. Easily.
Easily, right?
Easily. Right. Yeah, I remember him being pretty upset with me, you know, as if it was my fault, you know, and like, I remember him being like, a church was always awkward. I'd go back to church and he was there. He was still at church, you know.
Just
and
like this.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm coming for you.
Right. Right. So I remember him being just like, you know, pretty upset about it and blaming me as if I had something to do with it. I actually remember having a conversation like, Nito, I didn't tell them anything. They basically came to me and said, hey, we're firing Nito. You can go with him if you want, or if you want to keep your job, you can stay. So it was just one of those like, well, I mean, I'd like to continue to get paid. So I stayed. And
yeah, you're definitely, what was Nito expecting? Nito was like, what? If he goes, I go.
Right. It's not like I was vital to this organization. No. You know, I moved heavy things. So it was just kind of, that's how that turned out. And so I remember being approached by one of the managers and them saying, hey, do you have somebody that can help you? You know, do you have, like, basically I'd be the new Nito and I needed somebody to assist me. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I know this guy. They're like, is he 18? I was like, he sure is.
And again, where the picture is, yeah, this guy's not 18.
Right. So I remember I was like, yeah, he sure is. And it's funny because that was all the checks they needed. That's all the verification they needed was my verbal approval that, yes, indeed, you are 18. And so good to go. You know, so that was it. I brought you in and that's how that went.
Do you know someone who can work?
Right.
Are they 18?
Right.
We'll be in touch.
Do they have all four limbs? They move heavy things. Okay, good. Sounds good.
They don't need all four limbs. We're good.
You know, so long as they can lift heavy things. Right.
So, all right. So my favorite story, I've got so many, dude. My favorite story comes from my very first day. My very first day working. Because the question, and it wasn't the first day. That's right. It wasn't the first day with Nito. I'd been there a few times where it was Nito, you know, but it wasn't consecutive. But then that's right. I did start working there with you. And it was the first day, now remembering, where it was just me and you. It was just me and you. And our job was to clean up the yard. So, you know, all these cars in rows and whatnot. And, you know, people go out there and they'll take off parts and they'll rip other parts off to get what they need. And they'll throw it on the ground and stuff. So our job was to go around the aisles and the rows and pick up all the stuff. And sometimes it was just, you know, put it back in the car. But most times it was down the main row. A forklift would be, I'm like, this is such a ridiculous story for children. A forklift would be coming down the main row, row by row, with a junk car. So a car that they're going to crush anyways. And then they'd come, they'd lower it, they'd put the forks right through the windows, right through the windshield, behind the windows, and they'll drop it in front of us. And we were just supposed to load up the truck, load up the car with all the garbage. And then they would take it, they would crush it, they'd bring us another car. And I remember, I'm sure the forklift driver didn't wait out there the whole time. I do remember looking over there a lot of times, no judgment, because we've done it where, like, they just drop the car off and they just sit there like they're not helping at all. They're just in the, but I mean, again, no judgment, because it'd be multiple fingers pointing back. But that first day, the funniest thing about the first day is we were cleaning and then we also had to weed whack. So we both had like edgers, weed whackers, and we have to go around and get all the high grass and the weeds and whatnot. And you had like a push weed whacker, like I forget what they're called, but
it was awesome.
It was awesome, and didn't have any blade protection. There was no you'd have two handles, and then like it would be like a plow going down. At the end would be, you know, your two wheels in the back, and then your spinning in the front, and it was very powerful. And there was nothing but gravel around. So Mario would come up behind me when I'm, you know, with my weed whacker or whatever, he'd come up behind me and put on full blast and just drop it in the gravel and then duck and cover. And I get hit up with stones, with gravel. I'm just pelting with gravel while we're, and I'm like, I'm going to get fired from this job. My mom's going to kill me. I had to beg her to get this job. And now he's bullying me at work. Now he's bullying me at work. What a jerk. So yeah, it was dropping it that day. You were dropping it that's the other thing. I would be, you know, picking up the garbage before we started weed whacking. I'd be picking up the garbage and I'd, I'd, I'd hear like, ping, ping,
ping, ping. Dude, I got precise with that thing. I got to the point where I could like just kind of angle it just right. I'm like, that's going to be a good rock. And I'd kind of like angle it just right and I could fling it a certain way. I remember being able to aim that thing.
I remember that now. That's not what I was talking about, but thanks for bringing that up. I do remember imagine everyone, listen, you know what we're talking about here? We're talking about a guy who as a child became very precise with launching pebbles at someone else with a weed whacker. How many times do you think he had to practice that to get good at it? It was such a pain. And it wasn't just once. This would be a funny thing for you to do whenever we weed whack. But I'm talking about before we started weed whacking. This is how, and you were like, We can't mess around. You know, they gotta know we're working hard. So you went in like another row and I would go and I'm like, all right. And I'm like picking up stuff and throwing and putting, you know, coming to the aisle. I'm like, man, I don't even see Mario. He's so busy. But I keep hearing ping, ping, dong, dong. I'm like, what? And you're like four rows away throwing rocks at me. Rocks. You weren't working at all. I'm like, I gotta keep my job. And you're just throwing rocks. That was so ridiculous. That's the rock throwing, enduring rock throwing, my first bullying at work. That puts it in the books as one of my most ridiculous jobs. What's another ridiculous story that you have?
No, I remember just the, you know, I think one of the things that I find most ridiculous is really the totality of the circumstances of that being able to work there. I remember, you know, 12, 13 years old and I worked there for years.
Right. You said safety. Remind you of safety.
Is this yeah. Right? Yes. Safety. And so that's kind of, yeah, thank you. The forklifts that I was operating, that I was allowed to operate, it wasn't one of these little warehouse, little small, you know, forklift to like move pallets. This thing, I could lift several cars at a time with this forklift.
It was a huge tractor.
It was designed to lift vehicles, big vehicles, right. Not these little multiple. Yeah, and I somehow was signed off on being able to utilize that. Mind you, it's not like they kept safety records to ensure that I was, you know, properly trained on how to use this thing. And but I remember, so just doing that.
Are OSHA certified?
Right, oh, right. No? Exactly. Right.
It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Right. And so I remember just the safety of the whole situation. I think about it now, and I think about like, you know, back then we didn't think about, you know, we're only 12, but now now I'm this old, you know, I'm almost 40 years old. I look back and I've got kids who are 12 and older. I couldn't imagine my children now being in that environment, working that type of work. And so like, I remember
with complete strangers,
right?
Complete. Strange. It's like, at 12 years old, dropping your kid off at the mall and to just go.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, you can, well, I'll be here.
Right.
I'll be like a store behind you.
Right.
But that's kind of nuts, you know? Yeah, we did. I think a lot of us did. Yeah. But nowadays, but we're talking about dropping two kids around a whole bunch of weird strangers. They don't have to cart in. Actually, the weirdest people I've ever met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were at junkyard,
yeah,
customer and employees.
Customers and employees. That's exactly right. I remember just the safety of it all was what blew my mind. Like I remember when we would set the cars, for example. I know I mentioned that first starting to set the cars. I remember that in order for when I started working with Nito, in order for me to set the car, he would be the one in the forklift. He'd drive the forklift over, and I'd have these. They were basically two rims. You know, two rims. One was sitting flat to the ground, and then the other one was sitting perpendicular, standing straight up, and they'd weld them together, and that would create a makeshift stand. And then you'd make four of them, and then you'd sit the car on top of those, and that way it would allow access to underneath the car and that sort of thing, because they also sold the rims and the wheels off of the cars, because it's like, well, why didn't you just place it down on the tires? It's because they sold the rims and the tires, you know, to customers who needed used tires, and so they sold everything.
And they need room underneath people to go like kind of underneath the car.
Get access to parts that you can only get access to the car if you get underneath the car, and so they would do that. And so you had to place the car on stands, and I remember Nito driving towards me, and I'm like in front of the car, and he's lowering this, you know, 2,000-pound vehicle. You know, or more, you know, right in front of me, and I'm underneath it with a stand and metal, and I'm getting underneath the car, setting up these stands, you know, like, all right, is that good? You know, and then he's lowering it. the whole thing just blows my mind. The safety or the aversion to safety.
Right.
It's mind boggling to me. And that's just one of the many. So you remember when I don't want to steal your thunder, but I imagine that you're probably going to mention the time that we almost lit the place on fire.
Oh yeah. Actually, I went over here. I put all I wrote down like a little reminder, and I wrote down was two times, because I've got two times, not that we almost set the place on fire, but two times that you abandoned me.
So, I don't remember. Well,
oh yeah, I do. But we'll talk about that. But I wanted to talk about the forklifts real quick.
Yeah.
Because that was, dude, I wanted to drive those forklifts so badly, but I didn't, because I'm a child. Of course, I'm a child. But I didn't want to come off too thirsty. You know, I was like, okay, so what is that? It's a forklift. I just came off looking like an idiot.
You're being coy about wanting to use the forklift.
Oh, stop, forklift.
Given the circumstances.
Right. So what's funny is that these forklifts, they were industrial strength, and they were meant to lift huge things, heavy things like cars or anything, you know, weighing more than cars. But it wasn't necessarily built to transport cars, to move cars. So the way that we did it was, or that the people did it, or anyone using it, would take the forklift prongs and they would drop it, and they would bust through the window of the passenger and the front and the rear windows, bust through them, and then just pick the car up by the roof and then drive it wherever and drop it. So many times that, like, there's no grip on those forks. So I remember many times where, you know, you can go up and down, but you also have this tilt where I tilt it or somebody else tilt it, and the car would go ski, and like, and they'd be like, whoa, like, almost dropped a car there. Because especially when you're moving around cars like that, or, you know, sometimes you pick it up from underneath, but sometimes when you're moving around cars like that, you don't, it's for the purpose of junking them. So you don't care about their well-being. So you're like, you know, we're just going to throw this around. And sometimes it was slip off. What I wanted to mention is on those rims that were welded together, the welding was done in-house.
Right.
And it was not good. Sometimes the welds would not hold up at all. That's fun time. So yeah. There's been times where move the car, and the whole car shifts and falls like a foot, you know, because it falls off the rim, or it falls off one rim, and then it just, not safe. I'm surprised. It's surprising that we didn't get hurt like so badly. It's very awkward. But all right. So that's a good story. All right. I've got two times that you abandoned me, right? Two times that you abandoned me. And I'll talk about, I'll mention one of them. I'll let you mention the fire one. So the one time that you abandoned me was, I grew up around, like, you know, property and grass or whatever. And I was okay with snakes. I'm okay with snakes. And especially like black snakes, like black racers, Okay. Yeah. They're not going to, I'm going to look at them. I'm not going to try to grab it, but, we were moving some things around.
I was an inner city kid.
Yeah. What's that? Inner city kid. Inner city kid. And we were moving something, and we moved something up, and something, and we, while we were holding it, I was like, oh, look, I go, a snake. And you didn't even stop to look. You dropped what we were holding and walked off, which startled the snake, because what we picked up, the snake was under. Startled snake had the snake running towards me. And even though running had legs, if you messed everything up, no, it started, you know, slithering towards me. And even though I know it's a black racer, it's not going to bite me, I wasn't expecting for me to lose balance, have something drop right at my feet. I look up, dude, you were gone. You were just like, nope. It's just like, not doing this. And I wasn't even mad, just walked off. And I had to go find you. I was like, where'd you go?
there's a snake in that general area. Completely uninterested. Yeah. No thanks. It
just walked away. That was one time you completely abandoned me. You remember the fire story?
You know, I remember some of it. I'm sure you remember it better. I can see the fire spreading, But I don't remember what events led up to the fire starting or how we put it out. I don't remember much. I just remember it spreading, you know, pretty quickly.
I can tell you. I remember because that's the second time that you abandoned me. It's the other time, which was, all right, well, obviously, shenanigans, right? We're barely teenagers.
Right.
Barely teenagers. And we're not on top of that. On top of that, you put. I've got a son. He's almost 5 years old. But in my mind, he will never hang out with more than two other boys at one time, because three is okay. Four boys together, it's like someone's setting something on fire. Someone's hurting. Someone's trying to show out. No more than one and two other. You are like the exception to the rule, because you're like, let's just do stuff. And like, you would be like, Aaron, you should do this. I don't know. Aaron, you should do this. Okay. And it was, of course, we've got cars, and what runs cars? Gasoline. So we've got, and they don't drain the tanks. That's the other safety thing, dude. They didn't drain the tanks. Every now and then, like, look, we were broke. We were trying to, I'm trying to make money, but if I were trying to make money, but if there was a car we found with gas in it, we'd be like, uh-oh, that's going to go help someone today. And we would like siphon out the gas. At 13 years old,
yeah,
we would, or like if it was a really junked up car and we're like, oh, we will, we'd ask someone, like one of the adults, to lift it up, and we take a screwdriver, punch, these are old metal gas tanks. We're taking a screwdriver, slamming it in the side. Who cares about sparks? And just let it collect. But I remember that when I've done that before, and they were like, oh no, I was like, you got the gas? Yeah. I went ahead and I pulled all the gas. I'm like, oh, can I get it? And no, we put it in my car. Like the adults just took it, rightfully so, because they're looking to do that too. And I don't have a car. I'm not, you know, I'd put it in like my mom's car, you know. But anyway, so the fire, so there's gas over there, and gas is flammable, obviously, and kids like fire. So we made like a little hole, and like a little in just in the dirt, and like patted it down, trying to hold liquid. And we didn't understand the concept at this point of what catches fire, what actually catches fire with gasoline. So we poured some, we saturated that ground. And we're like, okay, we took a match and threw it. And we're like, I remember us being very like skittish, like, ah, you know, oh, this is going to be bad. And then you're like, I don't think it has enough gasoline. And, you know, it like,
of course it does.
So of course it never does.
Never.
So we packed it down some more, and then we poured a lot of gasoline. And then so it was able to hold, and you took a match, or we were both and threw it. And then it went in the gasoline, and gasoline's liquid. So liquid puts out fire. It's not the liquid that is flammable. You know, that's what we're like, oh, what's going on? And then I remember one of us, I forget who, lit the match and went closer with it rather than throwing it. And the fumes caught and just went from a little bit of gasoline, just like really, like, and we're like, whoa. And we both were like, not knowing what to do. And then so you were like, now we got to put this out. We got to put this out. So, you know, dirt, put the dirt on the fire. So you go to kick dirt on it. But what you do is you kick the crap out of it, and you kick the dirt that is now on fire everywhere. So it's like fire. It just goes.
It's like there's dirt napalm.
Dirt napalm. There's grass on fire now, and fire is spreading. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm stomping it out, but it's gasoline as well. So the fumes are there. So it's reigniting. I'm stomping out like grass catching on fire and spreading to other vehicles that have gasoline in it. And I'm like, hey, Mario, G, where you at? And you were just gone. I didn't even see you leave. It was just kick. I saw the fire and I went to put out. And when I went like this, you threw a Batman smoke bomb and you were just gone.
No problem.
I had to buy everything.
I had nothing to do with that.
I don't know. I had to put out the fire and go look for you. I had to go look for you. You were on the other side.
I'm back to weed whacking. Like, oh.
I was like, bro. And you're like, what's up? I'm like, what do you mean, what's up? There's fire. I just put out the fire. You're like, oh, yeah, man. You're like, nah, man. If that got out, I'm not. Dude, you were so the conviction you had to put out the fire initially was like, we got to put this out and going to kick it. Like it was 180.
I was like, that's all I got. I'm out of here.
You know what I do? I set things on fire and I can kick some dirt after that.
That's all I can contribute to this. Work still has to get done.
Yeah. So you were gone and you were like, I remember you putting, I was like, gee, what do you, and you put your weed back. You're like, what's up? I was like, what do you mean? What's up? I'm like, what? You were like, no, I came over here because if that stuff caught on fire, I didn't want to be anywhere near it.
I didn't want to be anywhere near it.
I don't want to be responsible for it. I'm not getting in trouble. I can't lose this job.
Hopefully that snake was in that area. That's what I was really hoping. No. Hopefully that snake was in that area.
Two birds, one stone.
Right. That's how I felt about it.
That's hilarious. Eddie, do you have another story?
You know, I think one of the things that I think I'll always be fond of is, and this is something that you have done throughout your life, is that you tend to what we have very eloquently labeled as Martha Stewart things.
I knew you were going to tell the story. I knew you were going to tell the story.
Aaron, for those of you who may not know, Aaron has got this thing about him that he'll try to take a situation and make it better, which is a great quality. It's a great quality. But Aaron,
my flair. I got it.
Aaron has a little flair. He's got this quality where he wanted to make everyone's life in at the junkyard a little bit better. And in doing so, he took it upon himself to fix or clean up like the break room area. And you brought in a coffee maker and you brought in I don't know if you brought in a toaster. There were some other appliance. I think I remember you bringing in
a toaster and a coffee maker.
You're right. And then you would clean it up. And that's how the whole Martha Stewart came in. Cause it always has something to do with him doing something with the kitchen in some sort of way.
Or
something. And I'm like, dude, we're at a junkyard. And so I think I'll always remember that because it rings true with exactly, you know, how you are. You'll take something and just kind of in addition to trying to do process improvements and how to, you know, improve a particular situation, you are also in the back of your mind can remember like a tablecloth would look good on that. You know? Or a French press.
Right. Something here's what you gave that a lot of credit, calling it a break room.
It was
a warehouse. Right. A middle of a dirty warehouse. There was a somehow dirtier picnic table.
Yeah.
It was up against a pole and the pole had electrical on it. Because that's where I plugged in. I remember I straightened it all up. I even made a pot of coffee. I remember, would you like coffee? You guys? And people are like, no. People wouldn't communicate or like talk with us really because we were children. They would talk. They would joke. They were like little jokes. But it wasn't like they were like, hey, what'd you get into last night? Because it would be like, nothing, you know, TV,
cartoon.
So, yeah, it's a cartoon. So, but I was like, you know, hey, you want some? No, dude, you know what else? What was next to the picnic table? Mm. This is why it's not a break room. It's a warehouse. We have shelves of all these oily car parts and everything all around us. And there's a right next to the shelves. There's a picnic table, and right about 4 feet in front of the picnic table is a parts cleaning machine.
I remember the parts cleaning machine. And you know what I remember most about it? I remember it was that. So just real quick, part of the thing I used to do in the military, I used to do something ironically that was kind of like OSHA type work for the military. I did that for a short period of time. So fast forward back to the parts washing machine. I remember washing these greasy parts with this chemical, and we were given like very thick gloves. We had access to very thick gloves, butyl rubber, just a real thick glove to be able to put on and wash these parts. Most people, including myself, never used the gloves. And we would just sit there all day long because sometimes my assignment for the day was not go clean up the junkyard or go pull parts or go whatever it may be. Sometimes it was, hey, we got this large inventory of parts that needs to be cleaned so we can put up on the shelves in said warehouse. And so that was my job for the day. And I'd spend 8 hours a day washing these parts with God knows what chemical. And just, I remember my hands tingling as I'm doing it. And I was just too stubborn for whatever reason, you know, to put on gloves. It's
easier. You could grab the tools more.
You didn't lose dexterity. And no one cared. No one was like, dude, you should really be wearing those gloves.
No one cared. So I'm surprised. I knew you were going to say a story about the parts cleaner, but that's not the story I thought you were going to say. Mm. Do you remember who else? Or I want to lead you there, but I'm not without telling you.
Yeah,
I'll just say there's a guy. There was a guy. He was one of the managers there who would put the parts liquid in his mouth and swish and spit it back out. He's like, "There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly fine."
Oh yeah, yeah.
You remember? Because it was like, and the question was, I think because I started off wearing the gloves because like this is what you do, like I was washing dishes and I've got, you know, I'm like enjoying my time, yeah. and he started getting on to me. He was like, what? And now I didn't know he did this like all the time just for kicks. He's like, man, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And he scoops them up, oily, you know, just this parts cleaner, and spat it right back in.
Yeah.
And like, as if, first of all, I wouldn't be surprised if I was thinking like, I got to put my hands back in there. You just spat it there.
Was this the really old guy?
He wasn't really old, but everyone was really old when we were that age. I'd say he had a rough 50 years, a rough late 40 years.
Well, there was a guy there that had a name that you would, we call them Geezer. We call them Geezer. Are you talking about Geezer?
No, that's a fat guy. That's a big guy. No. It wasn't Geezer. I barely saw him because he only really worked during the weekday.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I don't know. I vaguely remember being there when hearing, oh, he got fired. You know, he's not working. He's fired or something like that.
No, Geezer. So the reason I brought Geezer up is because he ended up dying. I shouldn't be laughing. No, it was terrible that I laughed. He ended up dying of some sort of cancer and something. And I'm just like, well, that jives with washing your mouth out with part cleaner.
But, right. Maybe him. But definitely he was. Everyone, and you'd have to wash these parts off. You'd have to, and it wasn't just like the mechanics would come. Everyone would have something would come on where we'd have to like wash these parts and put all of our porous skin in the worst liquid that you could possibly think of for that. Yeah. Man. So here we have still. All right, we're right at the mark. We're like a minute away. We're wrapping this up. We're landing this puppy. Great stories. I love these stories. I love going back down. And this is why I said in the beginning. You know, I want you here at least once. I mean, at least once, because there are so many more stories. So many more stories. And this is what I wanted to get to before. We were young. We were super young. Mm. That's also one of the ways I've been able to get 38 jobs. This was a job. I might have been 13 years old, but this was a job, you know. I remember if we got in trouble from school. I got suspended. I remember I got suspended one time, and in my suspension, it was like a 10-day suspension. And that every day I worked at the junkyard every day. And why wouldn't I? They were like, you know, and the same thing with you. If you got suspended, you would go work at the junkyard. So it really, as ridiculous and crazy, and I know this is for you, it's definitely for me. Dude, this was a lifeline for us when we were kids, us and families, you know, our family. It was reliant, you know, it was something where even if it was, I remember that on Saturdays, we'd work all day. We'd get paid. At first, it was like $50. We got paid $50 all day Saturday. And just that was a huge help, you know, to the house. So,
yeah,
crazy.
You're absolutely right. You know, it definitely came at a time where we needed it. You know, for me in my household, we grew up very, very, very poor. And so that's why there was no aversion for me to get a job. You're only 12, but if you're going to be bringing money into the household, we need it. We desperately need it. And so I was grateful for that job. I was grateful despite all the hazards I was grateful to be able to work. In fact, I worked there until I ended up leaving for the military. I think I worked there until I was either from 12 to 17 or 12 to 18.
Can I tell you? It was longer than that. I remember that you stopped working there It was May of 2001. It was right before we graduated May 31st of 2001. It was his last day in May. It was like the last day, not our walk, but our last day or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but I remember that at that point, it was right towards the end, that you weren't working there anymore.
Yeah.
Cause you had a second job, and for years, not to go and jump in it, but you had a second job that would be more normal for a teenager to have. And at the same time kept working at this junkyard from 12 years old to 18 and a half, really.
Yeah.
So all that time, and not a lot of people rotated out. So a lot of the same people when you started working that were working there years and years. Now we build relationships with them.
Yep.
And how'd they find out that you were eight, that you weren't the age that they thought?
I don't know if it was ever really appropriately adjusted. I'm confident they had to have known I was not, because I remember, right. I remember every so often, every couple of years as I worked there, my age would come up in some sort of way. Like it would be, hey, Mario, so how old are you again? And I was always 18. I was 18. 12 to 18. I was 18. Yeah, it never changed. I was
never changed.
Always 18. So I don't know if it ever really came truly to light that I wasn't 18, like in some sort of, you know, I wasn't confronted or I, you know, volunteered it or anything like that. I suspect that they knew I wasn't.
Right.
But I don't think I've fooled them despite having the beard and all that. I mean, you're still a kid. And so I think that they knew, but they just were, you know, well, heck, until we're told otherwise. He told us he's 18, you know, and, right. And 30 years ago, you know, the laws were a little bit different about, you know, maybe they weren't a lot different about chocolate.
No, they weren't different at all.
Not much different, but they weren't as were still people.
No, yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. It's just that place.
I guess that's
true. Yeah. Don't give them now. It was that place. So yeah. Here's how I know one time. So you had this little yellow Honda Civic hatchback,
yep.
that was so cool. And you had to, an SI engine in it. You put an SI engine. So you weren't working. You had just stopped working at the junkyard. So maybe it was, no, it was something different. You were putting a new engine in. You didn't have the SI engine originally. You added that later. Mm-hmm. And when you were adding that, because you had that Honda for a little while. So you were adding that and you went to the junkyard. It's after hours. And it was Steve. Steve was helping you literally change out the engine. By changing it, you had to change like the dome light. Like the dome light wiring, like everything. I remember you telling me everything had to be changed. And then you were talking to Steve and you were already recruited to the Air Force. You were a couple months away from going to the Air Force. And he was like, y'all were talking about that. And he was like, yeah, man, you're graduating, blah, blah, blah. And going to the Air Force. And like, man, you're 18. And he was like, how old are you? And you're like, I'm 18. And you're like, oh. And he was like, you're 18. And then you said, I've been working here for 6 years. And he was like,
I vaguely remember that. It's so funny. Like,
and you said that he was like so scared and surprised, but also he started laughing. He was like, because what's he going to do? You guys have become friends.
Right.
You know, he had made friends with a child.
Shout out to Steve, man. Steve was a great guy. Steve is a great guy.
Yeah. And you weren't, he couldn't fire you. You had already stopped working there.
Or stopped working.
You know? And what was he going to do? Fire you? You were 18. You were finally 18.
I'm on my way to the military. I wasn't looking for another job with him. Yeah.
Oh, man, dude. I can't. All right. I can't wait. We need to go ahead and wrap this up. But I can't wait for the next episode of when – not the next episode, but in the future, I definitely want to have you back on. I want to talk about some more because we barely scratch the surface with the ridiculous stories. And I know the more we talk about it, the more we'll remember these stories. So, Mario, thank you so much for coming on. I love you, man. You're my best. You're the bestie, best. That's a song I wrote for you, by the way.
That's a good song.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, this is usually I'm like, hey, any words of wisdom, but low bar.
It just really it would take away from the show because it would be a really big letdown.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah, run away from snakes.
Right. Steer clear of fires.
You see a fire, kick it. A, kick it. B, deuces.
Ignore it. Don't make eye contact, because if you make eye contact with the fire, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
It's there. No. And then it won't be a problem.
Don't lead the fire on. You don't want the
fire on. No, thank you for having me on, Aaron. I appreciate it. I appreciate trusting me to come on your show and to tell these stories, and I definitely love the stories that we've been able to build over the years, and thank you to Phil. Shout out to Phil.
Phil, producer Phil. He's a rock star. Thank you so very much.
Yep. And so thank you very much, man.
Also, you know what? Also, shout out to you. Shout out to you out there who are just trying to hustle and just trying to get things done and get it go. Are we cut? Did we cut? No, we're still getting. Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you, G. Appreciate it. All right, everyone out there in computer land. That's what they're calling the new metaverse, computer land.
Figure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hashtag copyright.
Yeah.
All right.
Not as clever as I thought it was going to be. Computer land.
No. Computer land. Who'd have thunk? All right. See y'all next time.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.